is the second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar.
Yay.
Aleph Iyar. Ani Hashem Rafecha, Zosias Iyar. It is April 16th, if I'm not mistaken. And we continue our study of the Sefer Olam Hamidos. We're in a section called Olam HaKavod. We really had just started a section called Yiyush on the bottom of page Samach. Yiyush means to give up. It's a famous discussion in the Gemara. Yiyush happens to be the chapter I'm teaching the boys in the Masifta now. Is Elam Metzias. Yiyush means when a person gives up hope of ever finding what he's lost. And there's a famous sugya there called Yiyush Shalomi Das, which means unknowing Yiyush, meaning had he known the circumstances, he would give up, but he doesn't know the circumstances. It's a whole complicated concept in the Gemara. But the phrase is Yiyush Shalomi Das. Yiyush without mindfulness. So Chassidim say of art, Yiyush is Shalom Midas. Giving up hope is Shalom Midas, which is really the subject that he's taking up over here. So let's start from the top of page Samach Aleph. What he just said is that sometimes a person starts analyzing his averos and he feels despondent. That's not tshuva. When we talk about tshuva being that we're supposed to be filled with regret, it's supposed to be regret that makes me want to do better. If it's regret that makes me want to give up, that's just low self-esteem, which, as Rav Kestenbaum puts it, could be common to anything you feel bad about. I'm not good at my job, I'm not good at my sports, I'm not good at whatever it is, and feel bad about myself. I'm not good at my avodas Hashem. That's just low self-esteem. That's not tshuva. So take a look at the top of Samach Aleph. Omnam tshuva amitis hi lehepech, but true tshuva is the opposite. Kishaadam makir chashivuso ba'olam, he recognizes his significance. He's not despondent. Despondence comes from I don't matter, makes no difference, I'm worthless. This is the opposite. True tshuva comes from, wow, look at the power I have, look at the imprint I make. Uma'or atzma b'tshuka, and he rouses himself with yearning, l'kayim tafkido ba'olam, to fulfill his purpose in the world. Umitzar al she'over etzon habore, he's pained that he violated the will of the Creator. Ve'osak b'chatoy medvarim b'teilin, and that he was busy with sin and just idle things. B'mokom Torah mitzvos, instead of Torah mitzvos, which are so important. Umargish, and he feels she'adam kamosu shakadosh baruch hu sam ba'olam l'kayim mitzvos, that a person like him, who God put here to do his mitzvos, so l'havi or, and to bring light, v'kavod shemayim la'olam, and the honor of heaven to the world. That's a pretty big task. That's a prominent job. Hech ibeid his dam nozu. How did he squander this opportunity? How did he lose this opportunity? V'lo mile kol hatachlis, and he did not fulfill the whole goal. V'hech ben melech misnayik hedyot mizalza b'chvodo. How does a prince act like a plebeian or like a low person and denigrate his glory? V'lochein kishanu chozer b'tshuva. Therefore, when we return in tshuva, and we feel bad about the past, and we seek to fix the present and the future, anu malayim simcha, we're actually filled with joy. In truth, we don't find somebody who's strengthening himself, let's say in the aseres yimei tshuva, to be in a situation of despondence. Person's really doing tshuva, he doesn't feel despondent at all, he doesn't feel yiyush at all, he feels sha'adrab, to the contrary, sameach b'ha'akara shumakariv atzma laboro. He's happy with the recognition that he is bringing himself near to his Creator. Ve'in chashivus gadol mizeh. There's nothing more prominent than this. Uvesoch kol ha'bechiyah shel ha'alcheit, within all the cries of alcheit, I did this and I did that, munach simcha, there really rests deep down within it a joy. And the fact that he is meriting to purify, and latzarif is a stronger word for purify, it's like to use a crucible, but he's purifying himself and fixing himself. This is such an important theme. We usually speak about it in the season of tshuva. I just wanted to mention one of the Svarim that I happen to think is very inspiring in that way. Rav Kook in Oros HaTshuva writes a lot about this. He writes about how a person can make a mistake, and when he's embarking on the tshuva process, initially he feels bad. But what he explains is because until now he's been oblivious to his sins. He's been, I'm not really doing it full justice, but I'll read it in a second. But basically, So long as he hasn't been focused on tshuva, so he hasn't been aware of all the filth or the dirt or the shortcomings, now when he decides to do tshuva, he has to look at it. He turns on the light and sees a filthy room, but that's the beginning of the cleansing process. So one should not become overcome with trepidation or with sadness over the discovery of how bad things are, because that's the beginning of the tikkun. As he writes it here, Kisha'ola libel sh'adam loshu b'tshuva shlema. When a person has in his heart, he wants to do tshuva shlema. The sakin is called naisav or gshosav. He wants to fix all of his actions and his feelings. Afilu b'machshav levad, even just in thought. Lo yipo libo b'kirbo, his heart shouldn't sink within him. Mimashu necherad b'nei rov ha'avonos, because he's suddenly, he's trembling over all the abundance of sins. Shenesu etzla yoser mugashim, that have now become more discernible, more felt. Kikachu teva ha'davar, because the answer is that's the nature of the thing. Shekol zman she'odam hu nirdaf b'nei zav ha'teva ha'gas. So long as a person is just caught up, in the material and the physical, which is coarse and unrefined and not spiritual, v'cheshchas hamidos haroz hasovos oso, and the darkness of bad midos that are encompassing him, einenu margish kol kach b'chatov. A person who's steeped in olam hazeh, he doesn't feel his averus. Uluf amim she'enu margishim klum, sometimes he doesn't feel him at all. V'reyu tzadik b'einav, so in his eyes he's been righteous. Avol kivan shekocho hamus'ori mis'orer, but once his musar capacities, faculties are aroused. Miyad nigla ar neshama. So now he just turned on the light of the neshama. Vayidei ha'ar nevdekas he nasho kulo. Now he can actually look. Now he's doing a scan on his whole system in bright light. V'roa who is kol ksameh, he sees all of its stains. V'libo doig bekirbo b'charoda gadol, his heart trembles and is worried within him, a huge trembling. Al miyad shleimusa v'omak nefilaso, how incomplete he is and how deeply he's fallen. I will dafka oz yasim alibo shari zuv hadaga haba ima. But that's when he should take to heart that this vision, this ability to see, and this worry, the worry that comes with it, hina hein hasimonim hayoser tovim, they are the greatest indicators. And mevasrim lo yeshua salamim betikun nefesh, that tell him, mevasrim is to tell good tidings, that inform, that announce of eternal salvation and fixing his soul, via Chazak Ma'od Bazeh Hashem Elukav, and should take great strength in this, and Hashem his God. One other quote from Rav Kook is apropos to what Rav Kesterbeh was talking about, also from Oros HaTshuva, Yisod HaTshuva Tzarech La'olam Yasmunach Al Tikkun Shel Lahaba. This is an interesting thing, and it dovetails with what we're talking about. The foundation of tshuva should always be with the premise of the focus on fixing the future, fixing from now on. Ubetchila lo yosim kol kach leikir ma'akev al dvar ha'avar. Even though Rabbeinu Yonah says you do have to sometimes put charata first, but he says don't place it as a focal point, thinking about the past. Kim yavo miyad lasok betikun ha'avar. If he comes right away to work on fixing the past, yimtza menios rabos, he'll find many impediments. V'yudarkei ha'tshuva v'kirvas Hashem koshim lafanav. The ways of tshuva and coming close to Hashem will feel very difficult. Al biyoso osik be'emes l'sakin es ma'isev. When he works on fixing the future, his actions, hadavar muftach she'oz yazru min ha'shamayim gam kein al takonas avar. Then they'll help him from Shemayim to fix the past too. I believe what he's saying, he says it in some other pieces also, is sometimes people get so focused on the past and it just makes them depressed. And I don't have anything positive about the future yet. All I know is the past has been pretty bad and I'm focusing on trying to fix that now. If he's first able to say, I believe in my ability to do better in the future, and he starts on that, he says, yeah, I'm fixing the future, and then he already feels some chizuk, yes, I can be better, then he doesn't get as depressed when he looks at the past and says, I wasn't so good. Yeah, but I'm getting better. So that's the idea that he's saying.
I don't know. I sort of think the opposite. I think when if there's something, God forbid, going bad, and then you think oh my gosh, what's going to happen in the future? Instead, it's better just concentrate on just getting through today instead of the big picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that might be with hardships. Because when it comes to hardships, we don't know what the future brings. So it's Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu initially, he said, Ekya Asher Ekya, I'll be with you, that I will be with you. I'll be with Klal Yisrael in this hardship, just like in future hardships. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, why are you going to tell them about future hardships? Enough to deal with this one. So then he just says, Ekya. Then he just calls his name one. We're not going to mention the future. Yeah, I think when it comes to what challenges the person has in life, it's enough to focus on the present and what's already been. Mm-hmm. I think here we're talking about fixing oneself. So there, if a person starts and says, you know, I actually can do better. Yes, I can do this. I didn't do this in the past, but now I'm going to be more nizar and I'm going to be better at this. He starts to become more encouraged. I'm actually doing better. I can do this. I've noticed, lahavdil, that a lot of diet plans start with like a burst, like an extreme phase mm-hmm. for a person, so that by the time you get it underway, you already have some success. You know, it may not be sustainable, but the person has what to look at. So, and there are exercise plans like that and other things. So I think before he turns around and says, all right, now I got to fix all the bad stuff I did, if he already sees I can do better, I've already demonstrated to myself I can do better, it gives him more chizuk. That's the idea. Next paragraph back in the Olam Midas. Misha Mesiyayish Mi Avodas Hashem Margashem Mi Utsa Ba'olam Einu Ma'ilu Einu Ma'rid. A person who gives up in Avodas Hashem feels that his existence in the world makes no difference. Doesn't err, doesn't detract. It's the worst thing to feel like you don't matter. V'garam lo lipo lakam averis, Rachman Atzlan. It causes him to fall into many averis. Somebody wrote a very good article when Space Age was in its height and frenzy. That there are people who were scientists, but they were becoming philosophers when they were discovering just how vast the universe is. So they were writing things about how we don't matter. When you used to think that there were thousands of miles up there, okay, so we're small. Now when you realize there's billions and trillions of light years, so people writing articles, first they were talking about the scientific discoveries, but then they were segueing from that into, and therefore we don't matter, and our lives are just random, and it doesn't... So somebody wrote an article, I remember he had a line, he said, never have so many been so excited to be so unimportant. Like everybody wanted to say, hey, we don't matter, but really what it is it justifies anything. I'm just a beast of this tiny... If you don't think you matter, which, again, when you realize how vast the universe is, a person can think that way. But we think the opposite. The fact that, as Mesillas Yesharim puts it, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, I'm talking to the God who that whole universe is a nothing in his realm, and for me it's so vast and so unfathomably large, and yet I can say Atah, that must make me great. That's the point. But a person thinks he doesn't matter, that causes Averis. Shekevin Shaladaita Maisavinim Machshavim Lakum, since in his mind his actions don't count for anything. Vizeo Mama Sheker Vachozov. This is literally Sheker Vachozov. Shekozman Shenishmas Hashem Bekirva. So long as the soul of Hashem is within him, Kol Maase Umaase Shalachoshev Be'eni Misha Amar Vahaya Olam. Every action is significant in the eyes of the one who, by his utterance, the world came to existence, right? Baruch Shamar Vahaya Olam. We say it every morning. Tefillah that we have a tradition, the text of which fell from Shemayim, and that's how we have it. But if Hashem gives us mitzvahs and averus, obviously our actions matter.
Sorry, could you repeat that? The thing about the text fell from the Shemayim, from Baruch Shamar?
Yeah, we have a Masara, that the text of Baruch Shamar, it doesn't even say who, I think it was Anshik, but they found it on a pitka, on a some kind of note that fell from heaven.
Wow.
The early poskim record this.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism in Baruch Shamar. It parallels the Sar Ma'amaros. Baruch Shamar V'Haya Ha'olam. There are 10. How you count the 10, which Baruchs you count, which you don't, is a machlokas, but it parallels the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. And Baruch...
there is 15 things in there.
There's a 15 also, if you count all the Baruchs. But the Rishonim talk about 10, and it parallels creation, which stands to reason. And we'll leave our Be'er Tefillah at that for now. Ula'olam la'olam al yisya'a sha'odam. Forever, forever, definitely a person should not give up. Shirak gorim hezeklat, so only causes himself harm. Ba'filu no'fal kamapam ba'ver. Even if he falls numerous times in sin, yizkar ma'ashakosav, kisheva, yipol tzadik v'kam. Has to remember the famous pasuk in Mishlei, the tzadik shall fall 7 times and get up. V'shamati l'farish sheyipol mashmashu davar hechrechi shirak zeh mahalach l'gadlos. I'm not sure if he's referring to a famous teaching of Rav Huttner, or I think he might be saying something beyond it.
What Rav Hutner said is, don't interpret it as a tzaddik, even if he happens to fall 7 times, will still get up, he's perseverant. Interpret it as the tzaddik is a person who fell 7 times. In order to become a tzaddik, that's what happens. The tzaddik is the person who's been through challenges and gets up. It's not incidentally. If, unfortunately, he's been through challenges, he should still get up. It's the way a person becomes a tzaddik. The tzaddik is one who fell 7 times and gets up. He's adding a little bit that yipol means he shall. Like, it's even like almost a command. The tzaddik, you want to become a tzaddik, fall 7 times and get up. Shirak zem halach legadlus. This is the only way to greatness. Lakum min filosof, to rise up from his fallings. V'tamid tzarech lahazkir la'atma she'en makal la'agosha shayish. Has to constantly remind himself there's no place for feelings of giving up. V'zeu chelak ha'avodah shelo. This is a portion of his avodah. L'hasir ha'machshavos shayish. To remove thoughts of despondence. I once heard from one of my rebbeim, when we talk about the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, and some of them there was something he had to do, and some of them was really just not being broken by the situation. And he said, really, the nisyon is this: the nisyon is not to give up. A lot of times, where a person starts to fall and to fail is where he's being miyayish. So the nisyon is to keep bouncing back.
So you have to be besimka a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. They go together. To maintain positivity and simcha, even when things are challenging. Which, of course, is easier said than done, but the rewards are so apparent. Ulamalos tachtein machshavos shel chizuk, and to replace them, to fill in instead of them, thoughts of chizuk. Kaveh al Hashem, chazak v'yameitz libecha, v'kaveh al Hashem. Hope to Hashem, strengthen your heart. The unspoken is, why do you have to strengthen your heart? Because sometimes you feel like setbacks. And then hope to Hashem again. V'da, and you should know, just remembering David Libor gave out after his brother perished in the Twin Towers. He gave out a slichus.
Vramovich?
Huh?
The Vramovich?
No, David Libor from town. He had a brother who worked in the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And that happened during slichus. So he gave out a slichus, I think, at the first memorial. I have a copy of it. And on the cover it says, Kaveh al Hashem. Chazak v'yameis libecha v'kaveh l'Hashem. V'da, and you should know, shemisha tamid lochei m'mitzro. A person is always fighting with the Yetzer. B'vadei b'sof yinatzeach. He will win. It's going to be a long bout, but you are going to win. Kimo sh'amru chazal ha'bo l'tayr m'sayin oso. In fact, this drush is relevant to this past week's parasha. At the end of the parasha, we read on Shabbos, v'hiskadishtem v'yisim kadoshim. Sanctify yourself, and you will be sanctified. So Chazal make a drush, and this is a kli yakar about it in the parasha. Basically, you do your part, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill in. A person who comes to purify himself, we help him. And by the way, in the negative, it's not that way. We have free will. If I decide I want to become Tamei, Hashem allows it. He doesn't help me. He allows it. But if you come to purify yourself, He gives you a boost. He gets involved. Avol misha miyayesh harei kvar nafal. But a person who gives up, he doesn't come to be matar himself, he falls. Al derech shamru chazal, tchilas nefila nisa. There's a gemara that's talking about running away from battle. It says the beginning of falling is fleeing. When you run away, you end up stumbling. It has to do with the psukim at the end of parashat shoftim, where we really don't want people deserting and turning away from the battle. Because when you start to run away, it means you have no fortitude, no strength of character, you end up falling. Vamru chazal. And Chazal say, "Al ti Russia b'fnei atzmecha. Don't be a Russia in your own eyes. To yourself, don't be a Russia." But Tzarech Hezber. Now, this statement of our sages in Pirkei Avos needs explanation. Ma ne'ase im be'emesu Russia? What should be done if he really is a Russia? You ever think of that? How's the Russia supposed to read this mission? I think most of us read it from the perspective, let's assume I'm a good guy. I shouldn't have a misperception of myself that I'm a bad guy. But how about the Russia who's reading the...
He's a Russia, but he wants to do teshuva?
Right.
So he can.
So I think it's a real answer anyway. Anybody who's considering this Mishnah is already at the level. That's what I would say. If you're thinking about this Mishnah, you're already at the level you shouldn't think of yourself as a Russia. But he's asking, what if a person he's done? He's done a lot of bad things. Sometimes a person's self-assessment, it would actually be bad for him not to realize, yeah, you've done pretty bad. Sometimes, we whitewash it, and you do have to realize the extent of bad. So what about somebody who's really done some bad stuff? So what does it mean, don't be a rasha b'fnei atzmecha? The Mishnah states it categorically, unqualified to everybody. Ela hakavona sh'al tisrake is b'matzav sh'ata achshav. It means don't focus. Don't make it a focal point, the situation you're in now. Ela habet b'ha'asid shalcha. Look at your future. Sh'esofcha l'zgadal yasad. Don't put front and center this image of yourself as a rasha. If it is the reality, which again is not usually the case, but even for a person like that, he should recognize his reality, but not focus on it. Focus on getting past it. That's the image you should have. The image of my real self, my better self, not the image of where I am now. Albeit, he has to have an honest self-assessment. Many people, because chalishus adas means like a new... English.
Weakness?
Yeah, a weakness of your mind. So it means like you just feel sunken. Because it makes them, you know, feel sunken when they think about their averus. So what they end up doing is denying their sins. I can't face the music, so I might as well just, you know, ignore it or deny it. They can't look at their shortcomings because they feel if they do, they're going to give up. So therefore, necessarily, they remove their mind from their bad actions. And they justify, they're not really sins. For me, it's different, it's not really so bad, whatever. And it's hard for them to accept Musa and rebuke. And God forbid they could become what Mishlei warns about, don't rebuke the letz, the scoffer, because they'll just despise you. People who won't listen to rebuke at all. You can have somebody. Where did it all stem from? His concern for Yish. If I really look at myself, I'm going to give up, and I can't do that. So therefore I'm going to deny it. Now I won't listen to any constructive criticism. So if you think about, if you diagnose all that, so what do we really have to fix? We have to give them the ability to engage in self-criticism without becoming despondent. If we can separate those two, once he can do that, then he doesn't have this defense mechanism that blocks him from critiquing himself. A person who doesn't give up and understands that words of Musa are words of Chizuk, they're for the benefit of man. He quoted a story, we mentioned it a few weeks ago, where the Sas Emes was being yelled at by his grandfather, Chidush Arim, for being late or something in the morning, really had stayed up all night, but instead of piping up and saying, no, actually, this is what happened, he listened, and then when the grandfather finally said, why didn't you say something? He said, what are you talking about? Such beautiful words from Musa. I wasn't going to squander the opportunity, interrupt you, and tell you that your criticism wasn't warranted. So a person who appreciates Musa, the other half of that pasuk in Mishlei is rebuke the Chacham, or criticize the Chacham, he'll love you. That's a Gemara phrase. It means take this rule in your hand. No kat, nun kaf tes in Aramaic is to take. So nakot means take this klal in your hand. La'olam al tasyayish. That's that simple. Never give up. We need to be very careful. So now he's making another point. Until now we're focused inwardly, but think about this for other people now. Shenachiyach asam ba'ofen shel chizuk. And we should rebuke them in a way of chizuk. Sometimes people just think about how to win the argument. I'm claiming you're wrong, you're claiming you're right, so I'm going to utilize arguments to show you're wrong. But the problem, that's if you're trying to win a debate, that is okay. But if your ultimate goal is to help a person be better, so criticize the person in a way that's going to help them to be better. If it's too caustic or too debilitating, it's not said in the right way, not said in a way that's encouraging, so then you may win the argument but lose the war, you know. The purpose is to help the person. Whenever we speak, we say, what am I trying to do here? Just be right or be helpful? To rouse to the awareness of their significance and their purpose in the world. They'll give up. Yeah, you want to shoot somebody down, you can, but that doesn't help them. Next.
I have a question. Is it, think about the person who has so much to be mitaken. If they look at the whole picture, there might be yeush there. Whereas if they just think, you know, if they deny a certain part of it, it's like, I'm just like, that's going to be fine for now. Or just say, it's really not so bad, but, and they like let it creep into them slowly, that like they take it little step by little step that, whoa, that was a big like problem. Sometimes that's the only way that people can attack this, like a frontal attack. The Yetzer Hara just goes, psh, you're out of here.
Right, yeah, I think strategically sometimes that is the way to do it. That's why most of it is so complicated. Sometimes a person can't tackle everything at once. I think there's a lot of validity to that. We did learn here years ago the Chazon Ish, who says there's no such thing as tikkun of one midah. But he meant in the absolute sense. He means you can't say this person is a great Baal Musar in this, not in that. Because that, he said, either you're fully committed to everything or not. But that's not the process, that's the end result. But in the process, yeah, there's a lot to work on. It could be too much to bite off at one time. So then I think,
or even just to like accept in yourself like that.
Well, they're the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Because the truth is,
yeah.
Really, Musa starts with recognition. And maybe it's, sometimes it could be too much to handle. I think some people can, but I could very well see there could be scenarios. That's why Musa really needs a lot of guidance. This is why the Bali Musa cried for the loss of their Rebbeim and have nobody to guide them. Because it really is a chokhmah, understanding people's neshamas and what to do and when. The great Bali Musa were unbelievable pedagogues. And, you know, they really understood people, and they're fascinating stories about the insight they had into people's character and what they needed to do to be masakin themselves. It's a great loss. We don't have that kind of deep insight today. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, I was also, I'm trying to understand, like, so when you're trying to do teshuva, like, I know that there's, like, two thoughts. Some people say go all the way back to your childhood and see what you come attacking, or is that, like, too much? And, you know what I mean? Like, it's saying here, then just don't focus on the past, just go forward.
Practical teshuva is not going back to childhood, where that can be relevant.
Because some of these, like, you know, therapy things, whatever you call them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they take you all the way back to your childhood, and, like, you know what I mean? Right. But is that, you know, some people can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned, we're about to quote Revolva. Revolva was a master. Mm-hmm. There's even an essay he wrote on religion and psychiatry and psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. Revolva was extremely educated, aside from being a Gaon in Torah. But, yeah, I think for basic tshuva, I think that's over the top. You'll recall, though, he said at the very beginning that tshuva is on midos. Those are the first pages of this sefer. We cited a number of very important sources on that. And sometimes in midos, to fully be misakin a midah, my approach in it can be fundamentally off, which sometimes really does require, to fix it fully, which we don't always have the ability to do. But if a person does, sometimes it's like, well, yeah, well, why do I act like that? Why do I respond like that? Why do I think like that? Why am I have friction with people? And sometimes that can be, as you know, there's a lot of things going on in psychotherapy. Some of them are not in consonance with Torah, and we would not hold them to be correct. Some of them very much are. Some of them are insights into the nefesh of a person. And we all believe that before the psychotherapy field was developed, the Torah was developed in the depth of the human soul, and yeah, things. Judaism believes that things from a long time ago are still within us and so on. So sometimes to do it fully properly could involve that. But I think sometimes we're overthinking things. And there's some things that if we don't really have Rabbi Yisrael Salanta taking us by the hand and we try to do it ourselves, we might just confuse ourselves, and we should do it at just more at a basic level. To do basic tshuva, I don't think a person has to go that deep. But I theoretically, yes, there could be cases where that's the way to do it. To fix me does, not mysim so much. Yeah.
There's a new branch of thought more recent within the last 20 years where it's just change the behavior. Don't analyze it, just change the behavior. Which is more like what you're saying, I think. Just like, you know, don't worry about where it came, just start doing the right thing, you know?
Right, which at some level definitely has validity, right? And we do believe chitzonius, ma'oros, zepnimios, you know, act a certain way, you'll become a certain way. There's a lot. Nothing is a full truth, though. You know, there's a place for that. I think there could be a place for that full short also. So let's see. The next section is L'Hakir Kochosov, to recognize his faculties, his powers. Ubevadai nichlal b'kavod atzmi. And certainly included in kavod of oneself. L'Hakir Kochosainu ma'alosainu. is to recognize our abilities and our milas, our advantages. Shemati b'shem Agon Rav Shlomo Valba Zatzal. I heard the name of Rav Valba, who again was a fascinating figure in Torah, passed away a little over 10 years ago, I think. Major influence of a lot of today's Bali Musar. He was considered a gadol for a long time. The yeshiva that Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was at in Ber Yaakov, who was Rav Chaim's nephew, he founded it. He was a mashgiach, and he was a rashiv, and he was one of the big gadolim, and a great chacham in understanding people's characters. So Sha'amar,
what was his name?
Rav Shlomo Volba, W-O-L-B-E, Volba, Vovov, Lamed Beis Hei. When I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, the Mashgiach of our yeshiva had been close. I was always quoting him. He was still alive at the time. He used to quote him in every talk that he gave. Sha'amar, he said, Oy lemi she'inu makeh chesronosav. Woe to a person who doesn't realize his failings. Aval oy vavoy lemi she'inu makeh ma'alosav. But double woe for somebody who doesn't recognize his milas. It's bad not to see your shortcomings, even worse, not to see your strengths. That's a great quote. V'atam lozeh, the reason for this is shemish einu makir ma'alosav e'ef shalahasig ayacholos. You think about it, sometimes we walk around life thinking, it's not good, I don't recognize my shortcomings. I really have to recognize my shortcomings. But every time you ask yourself that, you have to ask yourself, and which of your milas are you not recognizing? I think that keeps us in a healthy balance. So if he doesn't, he won't recognize his ability. So much of Musar is about recognizing the great ability you have. And
right.
Not just recognizing, but believing it and feeling it. L'mashal, for example, Mishi Yeshbar Takshit Yakar Ma'od Al-Choshev Shurak Evan Ba'alma. A person has a great gem in his hand, but he thinks it's a stone, he thinks it's a rock. L'olam Yikabal Avura Shabius Hamiti Shal Takshit Elik Evan Ba'alma. So he's not going to sell it for the right price, he's not going to get it, he's not going to appreciate it the right way. If we don't recognize our own milas, how much would you insure that rock for if it's a rock? How much would you insure that rock? How much would you guard that rock if it was a 10-carat diamond? Each of us has kochos like a treasure of gold, and one can't estimate. You can't put a number on what we're able to do. That's what so much of Musar is about. And you see it in the reality of the world. There are people who it looks like they don't have such great, not very talented, not very gifted. And we come up and betuchim ba'atzmam. But nevertheless, they're sure of themselves. Ma'aminim ba'atzmam, and they believe in themselves. And matzlichim b'ma'od ma'od, and they're very successful. He believes he should be doing this. This is what I'm meant to do. And the truth, if you look at his inborn talent. Not really better at it than the next person, but some people are just very driven. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Desla writes about that if you take on the responsibility in something spiritual like that, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you a special siyata d'shmaya, even if you're not qualified. He writes in the first chelak. But even without getting into the metaphysical, just in the practical world, even I'll have to in the secular world, there are people who believe very strongly, I'm going to succeed in this, this is what I'm doing, and they do it. Like the famous saying, nothing stands in the way of will. Some people have, they are very talented, but they're not matzliach. They don't believe in themselves. It's really a low self-esteem. The person's success, thus, is more dependent on what he trusts in himself and recognizes the benefits of the kochos he does have, than it being dependent on his real latent ability, his natural ability. And there were some great leaders in our own, and within Klal Yisrael, who you wouldn't think. They weren't particularly strong in one thing or the other, but they're just driven. They were driven to do what they did. Umalus biyada lifodrom, you can do great things. I'll code them tzaruch lahakiros. I have to recognize it. Umuchuyav mona bozeh. We're obligated in this. Lakabalach achrayas lifol kafiyah yacholah shalom. To take responsibility to do things per our ability. V'lo chas v'shem lift our tzmeinu b'divrei sheker, and not to exempt ourselves with false claims. Shemani ha'katan yachal ufabo. Little me, what am I able to do in the world? Kulanu ro'im atzmeinu b'mare v'ro'im ha'demushal. And we all see ourselves in the mirror and see the image. Yesh ro'im adam achubud yifei toar b'lishamum. Some people look in the mirror, they see a glorious person, flawless. I mentioned somebody recently, my mother's family, the last name is Spiegel. There was a Hasidic family of rebbes. So my great grandfather was a rebbe, his last name was Spiegel, and there was a guy in town who was known to be somewhat conceited. And he walked up to him one time, and this is a story in the family. He said, "When I look at the rebbe, I see greatness, I see radiance, I see tzidkus, I see chachma." And he's going on, and the rebbe said, "I think because when you look at the rebbe, you're looking in a spiegel, which is a mirror." So some people, when they look in the spiegel, they see, you know, greatness. V'yeshram adam zolel machur imharvimum. Some people see a low life, ugly person. They look in the mirror and they can't look at it. It doesn't mean mirror literally. It means the way we think of ourselves. V'shneim einam roam tzir. I mean, neither one is correct. El amar akum kafi hashkafas daitim. The mirror is inclined per your viewpoint. Avol anachnu tzrichim liros tzir amit. We have to see a true picture. Kol ha-mailos shalanu v'chein kol ha-chasronos shalanu. All the mailos and all the chasronos. V'nizkar sha-mailos kvarhen b'yadeinu v'chasronos b'yad l'sakein. Remember, all those mailos, you already have them. And all the chasronos, you already can fix them. And that's a great awareness. Next, to recognize our good deeds, l'akir ma'aseinu ha-tovim. K'mokein tzrichim anu l'hakir b'ma'aseinu ha-tovim shanu osim l'smoch. We also have to recognize the good things we've done and that we do and rejoice in them. It's, again, not in a conceited way, but it's important. Shemati dvar nechman mirab shmul David Kelemer. I don't know who that is. Rabbi Kelemer here. His father is Yehuda. He's Shalom. So I don't know who this is. Maybe a relative, maybe not. But he quotes someone here. Shevigashmi yosabiyamra chazal yeshlamana wrote some asayim. In material things, Chazal say, a person's never satisfied. If he has 100, he wants 200. It really should be the same way in spiritual. Sha'odim yishtokek yoser v'yoser. That person yearns more and more. Umav achilok bin gashmi yisluruchis. What's the difference between the material and the spiritual? El shebegashmi yis hatam shirotzi yoser mishum she'inu sevei arotzen mimashe hisig. In the physical, he's not satiated. The reason why he wants more is because what he has now is not satisfying. He thinks, well, if I'll have more. You know why I'm not happy in life? Because I only have this amount of wealth. If I had double it, like him, then I'd be happy.
Which is the important thing, the double or the him?
Maybe a little both. But even without the him, even without jealousy being part of it, it really, hanefesh lo tamale, the person, if he's after things, he's never going to have enough things. So the reason why, if he has 100, he wants 200, is because he's trying to quench an unquenchable thirst, because there's really nothing there. Avol beruchnia, I mean, I'm gonna have simchas olam because I have a certain amount of wealth. Like, really, you can't take it with you. You can't even really hold on. What do you do with it? What am I gonna do with it? Avol beruchnia is vada yismach bechelko mimash hesig. But in Ruchnius, he really should be happy with what he has. You just acquired eternity. You did a mitzvah. You know, that's real. That's eternal. Sharia Torah, mitzvahs knuyim, and you own it. You don't own the things you own. As the Geshe Rachayim writes about very beautifully. Exactly what way do I have my things? You know? Right now I have title to them, but do I really have them? It doesn't become part of me. Can't take it with me. But mitzvahs you can. V'hemetvarm shal nitzkes, they're eternal. So that really should bring a great satisfaction. Elo kevan shemakir ma shehisig vada yirtze yosef yosef. The only reason we yearn for things spiritually is because look how great that thing is that I really did earn. I just made a great purchase, which I really have. And you know what? It didn't even cost that much. I should do more of that. So in Ruchnias, he wants more because the thing that he has is of great value. I think the word that he's saying assumes that yesh biyado mana rotzim asayim is only in physical things. In the material, when you have 100, you want 200 because 100 is not satisfying. In Ruchnias, we don't. Some people would say the same thing applies in Ruchnias too. But if you would take this approach, that it was only said with regard to Gashmias, then the reason is because there's nothing satisfying. And if I'm trying to find satisfaction in a physical acquisition, material acquisitions, the only thing I can say to myself is, well, I guess that didn't work. I got 100. I thought I'd be happy, but I'm not. Oh, I guess the answer is 200. Then he gets 200. He says, oh, I'm still not happy. I guess the answer is 400. But he's barking up the wrong tree. If he would try to acquire things that have eternal value, invest in something that you can take with you, then he has real satisfaction. And that's why Chazal never made this frustrating phrase that you'll never be happy when they spoke about Ruchnias, because whatever you do have, you're happy with. The reason why you want more is because it's worth pursuing more. But it's not an empty feeling in what you have already.
Well, I have to say that there's a certain satisfaction, like pre-Pesach and pre-Sukkos, when all of my children have their clothes, their shoes, we're ready, like in the food department, in terms of having whatever it is that we need, and you know, whatever it is that you need, and there's a feeling like I would like to do it a little bit more, like be mahad or something, a little bit more. But there is a certain, there is a satisfaction that good, everybody's taken care of, and good, now we're done. So it's not a feeling like we need one more dress, we need one more pair of shoes, we need one more whatever.
Yeah, I think that happens to be a material circumstance, but in a spiritual pursuit. Well, here we're talking about a person who just wants to accrue more and more wealth. Even within our spiritual lives, there are material milestones. In fact, you know, the Yom Tovim and other things, they give markers to where we're supposed to be at certain points. But when the satisfaction just comes from, I just want things, he's talking about somebody who's really just looking to acquire, not somebody who acquires things in the service of Hashem. I think we don't mean that anything Gashmi has no satisfaction. Gashmi things have satisfaction when they're part of a bigger picture. I think that's the point. Did I just miss a page? No, I don't think I did. Amnam.
Samachtal.
Samachtal, okay. On the other hand, we do have to recognize our sins and our shortcomings. This does disturb our simcha. This is a difficult balance for every bentor. Basically, I have to think positive myself. I also have to accurately think of where I'm lacking. It's the ultimate incredible balance, which is why you could view yourself from one extreme to the other. Two people can be in the same circumstance, and one sees the cup so half empty, so miserably half empty, and one sees it so beautifully half full, because we're talking about a very important cup, and whatever lacking is a terrible failing, and whatever's there is a tremendous accomplishment. So, and the question is, how is a person able to balance them? Ozan is a scale. Benirish tzarach lius ba'ofen she'amru chazal. So, in short, what's the answer? How do you do it? How do you rebuke yourself but also give yourself a yashar koach? He says, the same way Chazal said to do it about other people, the way we should do it with ourselves too. The truth is, Chazal doesn't necessarily say it about other people. La'olam te smol docha v'yamin makarevas. The left hand should push away. Get away from here. You did no good. And the right hand should pull near. So it's like you push the person away, you give the rebuke with the weak hand, and you're makarev with the strong hand. Just like Chazal said, that somebody who's coming to guide and to educate others, has to give strength with the right and rebuke with the left. So even when you do it to yourself, you have to strengthen yourself with your right and give rebuke with the left. Probably a good recipe for everything in life. And Talmido v'divrei shevach chizuk, just like it's the role of a Rebbe to build his students with words of praise and chizuk. And sometimes in the you read the practical literature on this, they talk about what's your ratio of a critical word versus a word of chizuk, and so on. It's a thousand to one, but it should be right to left. It should be more chizuk. Lochiach aso b'dvarim rachim, and rebuke him with soft words. Hachanami b'derach zeh, kol echad tzach livnos atzmo, v'lo chas v'shom lishbar atzmo. He should have to build himself, not to break himself. There are people who do this well with others, but they're too hard on themselves. Interesting. There are people, when they look at others, they see nice things, and they look at themselves, they're too hard, and it breaks them. V'trichim liros es atzmeinu b'ayin tov. We have to see ourselves with a good eye, in a good light. Two people looking at the same picture, but it has a few scratches. The fool looks just at the scratches. They do, in fact, disturb or inhibit some of the beauty of the picture. The Chacham recognizes that it's a nice picture. He sees that for what it is. We have to recognize the beauty of the Torah Ma'asim Tovim we have, even though there's a lot to be misaking. And now I'll summarize his last paragraph there. So he says, what comes out from this is there's four foundational principles for covet of ourselves. First of all, every person has to realize he has a unique calling in the world. You're special because you were created. Bishvili Nivra Olam means that the creator of heaven and earth, who's perfect, created you and has a specific meaning. It's not an accident. And that's a tremendous chizuk. It gives us tremendous importance. Number two, forbidden to fall into yish. Just recognize that yish is the Yetzirah tricking you into thinking it's humility or tshuva. Number three, recognize your kochos and your milas. And number four, recognize the good things you've done and that you do. And his last four lines here: Misha mishtadla liknos mida zusha kavod atzmi vadi lebesofi smali simcha atzuma. A person who's working on this trait of recognizing self-worth will come into, at the end, a great simcha. He'll go from strength to strength in avodas hakodesh, and he'll be able to do great things and bring glory to heaven. The next section, which I think we'll have to stop in a moment, but the next section is covered for others. And it's appropriate. We didn't quite get that far. But I believe he talks about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which is apropos to this time of the year. There's a drasha of Chazal, Ulaven Shinai Mechalo Pasagan Vayachi, and the bracha to Yehuda, and it's Libun Shinai, a person who can smile at somebody else, who can see the good in somebody else, and that's going to be a whole yesod here. And we all know that ultimately the way Chazal phrased the criticism of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva is Lo Nagu Kavod Zebazeh. So part of kavod to oneself is also the ability to give kavod to others, and we'll continue next time. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah.